Look in your Bibles real quick to Matthew chapter number 4. Let me have you stand up real quick. Matthew chapter 4. I won't speak long. I'll be done before 9, I promise you. Okay? You say, Pastor, you may be speaking, but we'll be gone, okay? Look at Matthew chapter number 4. You listen to this. Be careful who you listen to. You tell me who you listen to, and I'll tell you what you're going to be thinking. How many of you ever hear people say, oh, I don't listen to anybody. I just do my own thing. Everybody listens to somebody. Well, I'm just my own person. I do my own thing. No, you've been hearing, listen to somebody somewhere, and most time it's an ungodly, a wicked person. The wicked listen to the wicked. I'd rather listen to God. So, I want you to look at verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Look at verse chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. He taught. Look in your Bibles at chapter 7, verse 29. Jesus was always teaching them his word. He was always teaching them Bible principles. Truth. You know what Jesus said? If you continue my word, then are you my what? Disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. You know what we need? We need truth. I don't know about you. I want God's truth, even if it hurts me. Someone said, if the truth hurts, we need the hurt. Huh? How many of you have ever hurt your kids with truth? Men? Ladies, don't listen, please, okay? Ladies, pause just a minute. Men, how many of your wife? Ladies, don't listen. You're not listening. You're not obeying. How many of you men, your wife has told you truth sometimes and you didn't like it? But you know what? Let me tell you this. We need truth. Jesus taught them truth. Look at chapter 4, verse 29. And he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Remember what Jesus said? Go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then teaching them to observe. Jesus taught truth. And then he tells us to be a teacher. Teacher of what? Our philosophy? No. Teacher of truth. Why? That's the only thing that gives you freedom. Everybody around us is in bondage. How do you help them? Give them truth. And if they don't want it, you can't help them. Let's pray, Lord. I pray that you bless, continue to bless this church. Lord, these faithful people. What an encouragement it is tonight, Lord, to my heart to see this church still continuing to serve God. And Lord, seeing these children here, and Lord, the teenagers at camp. Lord, what a blessing. It's an encouragement to my heart to see this church, what it's doing. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I got saved in 1977. A little church down by the river. There's two churches that have a special place in my heart. I'm going to tell you this. I get blessed more from small churches
than I do big churches. We have people come to our church over there, and they'll come to our church, and God's blessed our church. And then I'll take them to one of our small churches, and they are more blessed with that small church than they are our church. I don't know why. I'm like that too. Now, wait a minute. There's a little church down by the river, about a quarter of a mile from my house. It's back in the holler. Now, only Virginians know what a holler is, okay? That's not when you shout, okay? You ask somebody, you take to other people, other places, parts of the world, you're talking to them about you live up a holler, this holler and that. They don't know what you're talking about, okay? You have to have an interpreter because they don't know. That little church, a young man invited my brother. My brother was a senior in high school. My brother, it was around Easter. My brother came to church and he didn't get saved, but the next week he came back and got saved. And that brother began to pray for his little brothers and sisters and mom and dad. And I'm one of those little brothers. Today, this past Sunday, they probably had about 30 in church. But every time I come in, that pastor says, "Will you preach for me?" I do. Why? It's a special place. Because that place is the one that got our family on track. Now, I didn't get saved until I was 19. My brother began to pray for my dad, and my dad got saved. Listen to this. I'm going to tell you something, and my life is the grace of God, and yours is too. But you can see the grace of God in my life. My dad got saved in that little Baptist church, Southwest Chapel Baptist Church. Been there since 1905. They bought that 5 acres of land for $100. They should have bought about 100 acres, amen? You made $100, 5 acres of land. And they put that church. That's a special place. My dad got saved, and 10 months later, my dad was killed on a tractor when I was 14 years old. My mom remarried. My brother that was 19, and I was 15 at the time, and I had a brother 14. Guess what? My mom got remarried, and it didn't work out with the three boys, so they moved out. So from the age of 15 until 19, my brother that was 19, my brother that was 14, and myself lived in that home. We ran that farm. It kept us out of a lot of trouble. Then I got saved when I was 19. Let me tell you that. That's the grace of God. Are you listening? I don't care what you've gone through. You know what? If God, it doesn't matter where you came from, it's where you're going. Hey, you can't live in the past. I've got scars on my life. I have regrets on my life. God has been good to me. I said in this, hey, don't think I've sacrificed. Oh, Brother Sisson, you've sacrificed on the field, mission field. Oh, it's not been a sacrifice. It's been a privilege. Serving God, when we start, it looks like a sacrifice. But when you look back to anything you've done for God, it's not a sacrifice. It's an honor. Think about that. And so God led us to the Philippines. We were told not to go to that place, but we did. And I'm glad we did. I'm going to give you this. What we've tried to teach the Philippines, real quick. I'll speak fast if you'll listen fast, okay? I promise you, we'll be done by 8:15. And everybody said amen. Okay? Look here. I want to give you tonight what we've tried to teach the Filipinos. They're very religious. About 70% of them are Catholic. And I don't know what percentage, you're probably about 10% Muslim. But we've tried to teach them some things. One thing we've been trying to teach them, that hell is waiting for them. Hell is waiting for them. There was a young man, there was a man that comes to our church now. His name is Makmak Palapio. Makmak, I witnessed to his mother-in-law and his father-in-law for probably 20 years. His father-in-law would not listen. About 4 years ago, I went to the hospital to visit the son-in-law. He had heart problems. I went to visit that guy, the father-in-law. And I gave him a track, and he looked like he was angry at me. And I've tried to reach him for 20 years. 20 years. And I was kind to him. I wasn't mean to him. Because I knew he was going to hell. But he didn't want to listen. About 2 months later, that man died and went to hell for all eternity. He didn't go to hell because nobody told him. He went to hell because he chose to. A person goes to hell because they choose to. Now, there's some people go to hell because they never heard. Nobody ever told them. We try to teach them. Hell's waiting for you. You know this? Some of you have friends and neighbors. I was somewhere in Tennessee the other day. I got gas, and there was a guy standing out there, and I gave him a track. See, Baptists don't give out tracks much anymore. Amen. Some of you used to take tracks everywhere. Now you don't have any with you. Amen. Why? I don't know. Gave him a track. You know what he said? Thank you, sir. See, there are some people that will listen. See, what we do, we let a few people that don't listen keep us from giving the gospel to people that will listen. There are some people that will listen. And all we focus on the ones that don't listen. When you got saved, somebody kept working on you. You didn't want to listen. You didn't have an interest. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. But they didn't leave you alone. Amen? And I was thinking, boy, he said, thank you. I said, is this America? This can't be America. Let me tell you this. There's people that will not listen, and there's some people that will listen. And you've got to put your life into those that will listen. Amen? There was a man, I visited this guy, Mr. Palalio. I visited him about 8 years ago. And he was a drunkard. He'd been in drugs. He was about 60 years old. And I was witnessing to him and his wife. I said, on a scale 1 to 100, on a scale 1 to 100, what percentage of you think you'll go to heaven? You know what he said? Now, this is his wife sitting right beside him. He said 100. So I just ignored him. And I just started concentrating on his wife. A little bit later, I led those two people to Christ. He was very hard. A very proud man. God just opened his heart. About a year later, he died. His wife is in our church now, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She helps in different classes, and she's serving the Lord. Well, I didn't tell you this. They buried that man right beside their man with a teenage daughter that was buried. And about 10 years ago, she committed suicide. She died and went to hell. Oh, if I could have reached them 10 years ago, if I could have reached them before, they were, you know what we try to teach them? Hell is a real place, and hell is waiting for the lost. You know what else we try to teach them? Not only that hell is waiting for them, we try to teach them to come to Christ now. Come to Christ now. How many of you ever had people say, oh, I'll get saved at the end? right before I die, I'll get saved then. How many of people said, okay? Oh, how many of you thought that before you got saved? Raise your hand. How many of you had that idea? Well, I'll just wait to the end. Huh? Yeah, the devil. Later, not now, later, 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 later. God says, come now. Today is the day of salvation. Wait a minute. We try to teach them, come to Christ now. It's urgent. It's not a game. I believe this. Jesus said, seek ye first, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek heaven first. Why? Because it's so important. Tomorrow, some of you make a list. How many of you ever make a list? And then you lose the list. You can't find the list, okay? You make a list. You know what you're going to do tomorrow? If you make a list, you know what you're going to do first? You're going to do whatever is the most important. Yes or no? You're going to take care of tomorrow what's the most important. Let me tell you this. You tell me what's more important than salvation. What's more important than come to Christ? There was a guy in our church. His name is Rex Rivera. He's a tall guy. Everybody's tall compared to me. Okay, I like the Philippines because I am tall in the Philippines. Okay? And Rex Rivera, he's about like a big old guy. About 40 years old. There was a guy in our church named Dick. Dick was a drug addict. He said, Pastor, you got a bunch of sinners in your church. You do. And listen, my church is full of sinners. Forgiven sinners. And this guy that I reached about 10 years ago, Dick, he'd beat his wife. He was about 35 years at the time. He'd beat his wife, drank all the time, drugs. Kept working on him and working on him and working on him. You know this? The gospel is powerful. Are you listening? It's powerful. So, Dick, the guy that was a drug addict, kept praying for his friend Rex. Kept praying for him. Well, he was on a ship on the coast of Africa. Got kidnapped. He came to our church. Are you listening? He came to our church, but he didn't get saved. He went on the boat, got kidnapped for 3 days. The pirates up over there. I'm glad it wasn't me. He got kidnapped. And then they released him. Another time he got kidnapped. Next time it was 3 weeks. The next time he got kidnapped, it was 6 months. They put a gun to his head. And after 6 months, he got away. They rescued him. When he came back to church, guess what happened? He got saved. Are you listening? I'm telling you this. We try to teach him, come to Christ now. I believe this. If you put off salvation to last, I don't believe you'll ever find it because God says first. When God says first, you better listen to God. That's what we teach them. Come to Christ now. Come to Christ now. We teach them to live godly. Did you know this? God did not save us to stay in our sin. God did not save us to stay in our sin. Did you know this? If you go out here and you tell people, oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. Alcohol's wrong. Drugs is wrong. Adultery is wrong. That sin's wrong. They get mad. How many are talking about? I mean, they get mad. Let me tell you something bad. It's bad when people in the church get mad when somebody says, that's wrong. That's sin. Amen. We want the world to do right, but it's time for God's people to do right. It's a blessing tonight to see you come in with your Bibles and see you serving the Lord. You know why? Because these little children are watching you. Listen, you may be a grandparent, but these little kids are looking up to you. And they'll remember you. They'll remember you. We teach them to live godly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what the Bible says? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If you and I will stay, live godly,
And we'll stay in the scripture. Whatever you do, God will bless it. God wants to bless us, but he can't. Why? Because of sin in our life. I preach the devil out of people. We have people that were drunkards. We have people that were in drugs. We have people that lived in adultery. You know what? After they get saved, they need to come to a church where they taught the Word of God and taught what's right and what's wrong. Did you know right and wrong never changes? Now, listen. The world tells us, oh, it's okay now. The world says, oh, that's okay. Why? Everybody's doing it, so it's okay. Huh. If everybody's a murderer, it's okay. If everybody's a thief, so it's okay now? No. Right and wrong never change. But the world, they program us. How many I'm talking about? They program us. Let me tell you this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we'll live a pure life, and we'll live a godly life, we live a righteous life, you'll see God work. Are you listening? That's what we teach our people. We teach them to live godly. And I'm almost finished. We teach them to give. We teach them to give. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. You know what I tell our people? I tell our people, I'm not embarrassed to teach our people to give. I tell them, let's say you're our people. I say, look here, I'm not embarrassed to tell you to give. I'm not embarrassed to tell the Filipinos to give. You know why? Because I've given my life. Not my money. I've given my life. My wife's given her life. My kids been there 23 years. Left the greatest nation in all the world. And Pastor was in Cambodia. When you go to Cambodia, when you come back, you notice everything. You notice the roads. You notice the order. God's blessed this country. God's blessed this country. And my kids didn't get to grow here, but you know what? So why would I be embarrassed to tell them to give money when I've given my life? It's a lot easier to give you money. So we teach them to give. Look in your Bibles. We teach them. We teach them. And if they don't do it, we still teach them. They come back, we still teach them. And if they don't listen to me, that's okay. If they don't listen to me about giving, that's okay. God will teach them. Huh? How many of you know? How many is God taught? How many in here God had to teach you about giving? And you lost this money, and you lost this, and you lost this money, you lost this money? Huh? You had problems and you knew why? There was a lady one time, one of my men said, Pastor, we'll go see this lady. And she's about 50 years old. And she was just crying. And she has a sand and gravel business. And she'd been saved about 3 years and she was just crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, the engine of my truck. And she didn't have much. It blew up. I said, well, okay. She said, I know why. I said, why? She said, because I stopped tithing. I said, no, that's not the reason. That's not the reason. She said, Pastor, yes, it is. I said, no, ma'am, that's not the reason. She said, Pastor, I know. God showed me. I've been robbing from him. I said, okay. Did you know this? If you don't listen to your preacher and you don't listen to God's word, he will teach you. And when he teaches you, you won't forget. And next time you say, God, I don't need another lesson. One lesson's enough. I don't need a makeup test. One test is enough. Are you listening? Look at your Bibles in Malachi chapter 3. Real quick. We teach them to give. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, you know what? If lost people knew what we taught about giving, they would think we're crazy. Is that true? If lost people knew that you tithe and you gave the missions, they'd think, man, you're crazy. Man, what kind of church is that up there? That's a Bible-believing church. That's what that is. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at the promise.
bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Oh, Pastor, that's in the Old Testament. Did you know the story of Noah's in the Old Testament? We teach that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We still teach that. That's in the Old Testament. Huh? Yes? We still teach about Abraham. Did you know two-thirds of the New Testament is Old Testament? Are you listening? Let me tell you this. If tithing was not in the Bible, I'd still do it. Why? Because of the blessings. Look at this. He said this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. We teach our people to give their tithe. We teach our people to give to missions. We teach our people to give to missions. You know what I call our church? That's the result of missions. Our buildings, result of missions. You know this? We have a Bible college. Doesn't cost them anything to come. They have to take care of their food. My wife said, we need to cook their food. I said, no, we're not cooking our food. They take care of their food. We have 112 students. We let them come free. Who pays for it? Our church. That church. You want to know God? You want to know why God blessed our church? You can't outgive God. We had camp about a month ago. We had camp. We had 810 campers, 61 churches. You know how much we charge them? Some of them from the mountains and villages. You know how much we charge them? $4. When they went to Wiles, how much did it cost? $10? $20? Huh? A lot more. We charge them $4. It cost us probably about $20. You say, who paid for it? Our church members. You want to know why God's blessing us? You know, the pastor, y'all trying to build something. You ought to be the Lord. I'll give. You know why? Because God will give it back. I heard this guy say one time, he said, you know what? This preacher said, he said, you know, I don't give to God. This preacher said, I don't give to God. And somebody said, what? No, I don't give to God. He said, I just lend it to God. He said, what do you mean? He said, I don't give to God. I just lend it to God. Because later he gives it back. You can't tell me one time that you've given to God and he didn't give it back. Amen. You guys are going to build something. I challenge you to do more for God. Don't do less. Do more. You know what? We teach our people to give the missions. We try to get everybody involved in missions. Even if it's a little bit. Everybody doing something mission. Everybody. You know why? Because when you give, you be a part of the missions giving. Are you listening? You don't know why God's given us buildings? Look here. It's amazing. If they can do it on the mission field, you can do it right here. We have some people make $10 a day. Anybody here make $10 a day? Anybody? Some of them make $20 a day. Now, we may have some maybe make $40 and $50 a day. How many are glad you don't make $40 a day? You know what? But somehow God has blessed them. We teach them to give. You know why? Jesus was a teacher. And once you get people saved, you ought to teach them the Word of God. And when you teach them the Word of God, you're going to help them. And the last thing, and I'm finished, we teach them to give out the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a lady in our church. She's been coming about 5 years. She probably makes about $2 or $3 a day. She pushes this cart. She's about this tall. She pushes this cart. About 5 years ago, my daughter, Abby, her husband's one of the associate pastors. She saw her on the street. She went over and started talking to her. She pushes this thing miles and miles and miles every day. She may make $2, maybe $5 a day. Poor, poor, poor. And Abby started witnessing to her and talking to her. And she led her to the Lord on the side of the road. Did you know that? Her and her family are in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know why? We teach our people to give out the gospel. Give out the gospel. Give the gospel out. There's a man in our church. I'll tell you this story and I'm finished. His name is Bobby. Bobby, about 4 years ago, he came to our church. You know what? He was going to commit suicide. He was about 38 years old. He was going to commit suicide. He worked for the business and somebody was embezzling money and he was going to commit suicide. He told his son, Sean, you take care of your mom and take care of your brother. He was going to go out and commit suicide. But he prayed and said, God, you speak to me one more time and I'll know that you're still going to help me. He was lost. He went to a church on a Sunday night and the doors were closed. I'm glad Baptists still have their doors open. Amen. He went to a church and the doors were closed. He said, okay, God, maybe you're not going to speak to me. He remembered there was a church down not very far, maybe half a mile. He went down there and it was closed. He remembered somebody gave him a tract and he put it in his glove box there. He remembered it. He got it out and he looked at it. That church is right here. He came to our church. He was going to commit suicide. I didn't know that until about a few months ago. He said, I'll go to that church. He came to our church. One of our men sat beside him. And that night he got saved. And he said, Pastor, my wife won't come. He came for 2 years. His wife didn't come. One morning she said, I'm going to go with you. She came and she comes all the time now. God has blessed that man. That man is a testimony. He has a business now. Guess what? His purpose of his business is to reach his workers. You know what? The gospel. We try to teach our people to give out the gospel. Not just the pastor. Everybody can give out the gospel. You say, I don't know what to say. Tell them what happened to you. I was going to hell. Now I'm going to heaven. God changed my life. Just share the gospel. You know why? People are going to hell and they don't want to go to hell. That's what we try to teach our people. We teach them to give out the gospel. You know what? It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Did you know this? You say, but Pastor, this man doesn't care. He's going to hell and he doesn't care. How many have some neighbors that don't care? How many have some relatives that are going to hell and they don't care? How many have some people where you work, they don't care? You remember this. If you don't get anything else tonight, remember this. I'm here to help you. This man doesn't care. He's going to hell and his family's going to hell. He doesn't care. He'll never care about his soul until a Christian gets concerned about his soul. Some of you didn't want anything to do with God. Some of you in here, you didn't want to do anything with God. Nothing. Wait a minute. Somebody got a concern about you. Somebody gave you a tract. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody tried to get you to come to revival. Somebody just kept talking to you and talking to you. You were hard. You had no concern. And you began to get a concern when somebody else got a concern for you. So if this person ever gets a concern about his soul, it must start with the believer. Maybe they're not concerned about their eternal soul because we are not concerned about their eternal soul. If we'll get concerned, God will cause them to have a concern. That's what we teach them in the Philippines. You know what I teach them? Why should I have more of a burden for the Filipinos than you do? Why should I have more of a burden for the Filipinos than the Filipinos themselves? So I've tried to teach them to give out the gospel. And you know this, on a Sunday, we'll have 15 to 20 visitors every Sunday. Who brings them? They don't come for me. They come for my people. There's people that you can reach that nobody else can reach. That's what we try to teach the Filipinos. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray. The field is white under harvest. The Philippines is a great harvest field. But you know what? Right where you're at is a harvest field too. It may be harder. It may be more difficult. But you know something? God can use you to get a concern for those around you. And when you get a concern for those around you, little by little, they'll get a concern. You say, Brother Sisson, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Something you said tonight, I needed something you said. Pray for me. Pray. Yes, ma'am. God sees that hand. Who else? Pray for me. Yes, just put your hand up and back down. God spoke to my heart about something. Yes, ma'am. Maybe there's somebody that has no concern. Why don't you get concerned? Believers, you get concerned. Anybody else? Yes, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Pray for me, Pastor, that I'll get a burden for those around me. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. God sees your hand. I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for these faithful people. Many of these are still here after many, many years. Lord, the greatest thing we can do is be faithful. And Lord, thank you for this church and it stand for God when everybody else just following the world little by little. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless these dear people. Work in this invitation. Lord, bless this church and this pastor. And we ask this in Jesus' name with our heads bowed and eyes closed.
Let's stand together, shall we, ladies?